Arhanam. Ahekshamana. Papena. Ahekshamana papena. Tirashtanena. Chakshusha. Tirashtanena chakshusha. Prashraya vannatvatang. Dantang. Prashraya vannatang. Dantang. Bodhanjaling. Avastitam. Badhajalim avastitam. Sarpa. Padahata. Eva. Sarpa padahata eva. Swasan. Prakriti. Daruna. Swasan prakriti daruna. Kupavesha talad gatra. Kutrang hantum mano dadhe. Sivva parushaya vacha. Paradam atadarhanam. Ahekshamana papena. Tirashtanena chakshusha. Prashara vannatang dantang. Patanjalim avastitam. Sarpa badahata eva. Swasan prakriti daruna. Mataji's. Samana papena tirashtanena chakshusha prasayan vanatam datam patanjanim advastitam sarpa padahata eva. Kopa Avesha.
By a very angry
mood.
Chalat.
Trembling.
Gatra.
The whole body.
Putram.
His son.
Hantum.
To kill.
Mana.
Mind.
Dadhe.
Fixed.
Shipva.
Rebuking.
Purushaya.
With very harsh.
Vacha.
Words.
Paradam.
Prahlad Maharaj.
Atat Arhanam.
Not fit to be chastised.
Due to his noble character and tender age.
Aha.
Said.
Ikshamana.
Looking at him in anger.
Papena.
Because of his sinful activities.
Tirasjanena.
Crooked.
Chakshusha.
With eyes.
Prashraya.
Avannatam.
Very gentle and mild.
Dantam.
Very restrained.
Pada Anjalim,
having folded hands.
Avastitam,
situated.
Sarpa,
a snake.
Pada Ahata,
being trampled
by the foot.
Eva,
like.
Swasan,
hissing.
Prakriti,
by nature.
Daruna,
very evil.
Translation.
When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry. So much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son, Prahlad, was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When one is impudent toward a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planets, Swargalok. Yet now, because of his mistreating of such a Vaishnava as Prahlad Maharaj, all the results of tapasya diminished. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46, Ayu Sriyam Yaso Dharmang Lokan sa evacha. Hanti shayangsi sarvani pungso mahad atikrama. When one mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. So we're coming to a crescendo here in this story with Prahlad Maharaj. It's exciting, isn't it? So I thought I'd take you on a little bit of a journey today. We're going to go forward and backward at the same time. How about that? We are all like on Dandavat Parakram, going through this Srimad Bhagavatam. If any of you grihasthas have any difficulties maintaining a family and putting your food on your children's plates and your wife and your own plate also, there's a very good occupation that you can take up. All you have to do is bring all your family to Govardhan and give each of your family members a mat and start doing Dandavat Parakram. And there's different ways to do Dandavat Parakram around Govardhan. The way I recommend, if you want to maintain yourself, is you get 108 rocks. And you do 108 dandavats for each length of your body. And you put a picture of Gopal in a plate at the length of your arm. And before you start every day, put some money in that plate. All right, so that gives everyone the idea that yes, that place is for Lakshmi Devi. And they can offer it to Gopal. And I guarantee you that if you do Dandavat Parakram every day, day after day, and you don't have to do it all day long, you can do it for a period of time during the day. And then you can spend a portion of your day, you know, going to the market, and with the Lakshmi you've earned, you can buy some sabjis and some rice and some dal, and you'll be able to feed yourself and your family quite well. There's people that do this, and they have a house. It's not that they have a very big house. Have you seen the houses they have? They're like these tin houses, and they're on wheels. And they do their 108 dandavats, and then they do another 108 dandavats, and then they do another 108 dandavats, and they move a little ways ahead on the path of Govardhan. And when they get a certain distance away from their house on wheels, they ask some people that are walking around Govardhan to please help them a little bit and push their house forward. And they get some help, no problem. And they continue on their way. And you may even have children. I guarantee you, you will be able to send them to a school. And you will be able to buy them their books and their pencils. And especially if you engage them on Dandavat Parakram also for a period of time, you will be a very dear resident of Govardhan. And you will be completely taken care of. And you can go up on with your occupation of Dandavat Parakram for the rest of your life. And you will have enough food in your belly. You will have clothes on your back. And your children will be able to go to school, and so on and so forth. So we're going on Dandavat Parakram as we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a circle. you go through the Srimad Bhagavatam as a group, and when you reach the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you go back to Canto 1 and you do it again. You're never finished reading, doing Dandavat Parakram on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Dandavat Parakram of the Srimad Bhagavatam as a group. Then there's the Dandavat Parakram of Srimad Bhagavatam as an individual. Okay? There's no ending to the Dandavat Parakram of reading Srimad Bhagavatam to yourself also. There's other types of Dandavat Parakrams. There's the Dandavat Parakram of chanting your japa. There's every day you pick up your japa beads and you chant 16 rounds. And you do the Dandavat Parakram of chanting your japa. And there's the Dandavat Parakram of chanting the holy names congregationally. So you every day get up in the morning and first of all start the Dandavat Parakram of chanting your japa. And then you put aside your japa for a little while and you go to the temple and you go to Mangalarti and Tulsi Puja. And you do the Dandavat Parakram of the congregational chanting with other people. And this way, we spend our life. And it's a constant Dandavat Parakram to the holy name and to the message of the holy name, congregationally and individually. This is the practice of spiritual life that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And it is incredibly life-changing. Anyone who comes in contact with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's movement, Srila Prabhupada's books, you're in for a life change. You're going to get new friends. You're going to get new food habits. You're going to change your taste for the type of music you like to listen to. You're going to get a change in the type of clothes you're going to wear. It's a good chance, not necessarily, but there's a good chance you're going to get a change of residence. You're going to get a new type of haircut. You're going to put on different cosmetics. You may put on some of the same cosmetics if you're a lady, but you're going to add some cosmetics. You're going to have to start putting on tilak. And new jewelry, you get to wear tulsi mala. So it's quite life-changing, spiritual life. And you pick up a lot of habits. And you give up a lot of old, nasty habits. And it has a tremendous effect on your consciousness. This is the key. It is described that Krishna consciousness is an education. This is an educational institution. And in the Vedas, it is described what it means to be a highly learned person. It's described that a highly learned person, he sees other people's possessions as like straw in the street. He sees every single woman besides his wife as his mother. What's the other ones? Does anyone remember? Any hands? What's that? Oh, he sees other people, thank you, Prabhu, as himself. and treats other people like you treat yourself. So this is a very, very, we are in an institution, an educational institution. And when one gets educated, one hears things, and if you want to realize them, then you practically apply them in your life. Who knows the Bhagavad Gita sloka that says this? Come on now. I know some of you are shy. Do you know the answer to that? Do you know that sloka? I'll give you a hint. It's in chapter 9, and it's text number 2. Now do you know which one it is? Some others do. Okay. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pravitram Idamuttamam Pratyaksa Bhagamam Dharnyam Susukam Kartamaviyam. This knowledge is a king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. And because it gives direct perception, is the perfection of religion, excuse me. And it gives direct perception of the self through realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So we're part of an educational institution that we have fun here. If you're following the educational institution's instructions, you're going to be joyful. If you're not joyful, you're doing something wrong. And all you have to do is ask and explain your situation. And if you're not joyful, if you're not having a good time, someone can point out to you what's going on in your life that you're doing wrong so that you can correct it. That is the key to making progress in spiritual life. Asking, inquiring. Machchitta madgatapana bodhayanta parasparam katayantastamam nityam tustantita damantita. That the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlivening one another and conversing about me. So Hiranyakashipu, he's not a happy camper here. Something's going wrong with him. He's not satisfied. He's so angry at his son that first of all, he tried to get other people to kill him. Imagine having a father like that. All right, he hires hitmen to kill you. Okay? Quite a father. Then when they failed, I mean, they pushed him off cliffs, they put him in front of elephants, they had someone feed him poison, so many things he had his assistants do to try to kill his son. But nothing worked. I mean, such the potency of Prahlad Maharaj. And not only, you know why it didn't work? Because he didn't get angry. He remained humble despite being so badly abused by his father. He was so Krishna conscious that he had the realization that Krishna was testing him through his father. There's a saying, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj is the personification of someone who realizes this. And he maintained a favorable attitude towards his father through all this. And so much so that when his father approached him this last time, he was had folded hands and was respectful and remained respectful when it was now his father's determination that I have, you know, requested my assistance to kill my son and they have failed. Now I am going to kill my son personally. Now, talk about a powerful person, Hiranyakashipu. I mean, such an incredibly powerful person. He had the whole universe under his control, he thought. He had subjugated all the demigods. He had practically almost become immortal. He was full of strength. He was full of vigor. He had anything he wanted was that just ask for it and he could get it. But he did not have control over his son. And who else didn't he have control over? His senses. This is the point. There's the sloka in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhantar Atmatmanas Tasya Yenatmaivatmana Jitaha Anatmanas Tusatutve Vartaitatmaiva Shatruvat. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. For one who has failed to do so, his very mind will remain his greatest enemy. So, what are the symptoms of someone whose mind is under control? The next sloka. Does anyone know it? Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita sitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. To such a man, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, they are all the same. So you think you've got your mind under control? Are you seeing Krishna within your heart? That's the test. Then we know that our mind is our friend. When we are in touch with Krishna. Are you in touch with Krishna? Huh? Not as much as me? You gotta be kidding. You know, it's in Vedic culture, it's not only age that determines that one is superior. It is also according to the highest form of determination of Vaishnava etiquette, which is one is someone who is highly devoted to Krishna. So I rebuke that statement, and I pay my obeisances unto your lotus feet. Now this is maybe not such a popular subject matter amongst proud people. That someone is younger than you and you're a man and someone is a woman, and to consider someone younger, and then the opposite sex at that, to be superior. But it's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Trinadapi sunitena, tororapi sahisena, amanina manadina, kirtanyak sadahari. In Lord Chaitanya's movement, the competition is to who can serve more another personality. Not only one personality, but all the devotees. And the competition in the material world is how many people can I get to serve me? So this is the opposite situation of the materialists and the devotees. There's also a sloka in the Bhagavad Gita that gives this message. Does anyone remember it? I'm having a hard time. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the timing of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. What's the first word? Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasam jagrati sangyami yasam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasito mune. So we get a lot of guidance in spiritual life. We get the guidance of the Shastra. We get the guidance of gurus, our Shiksha gurus and our Diksha guru. And we get the guidance of these sadhus. So we get a lot of help. And in the age of Kali, we need it. It's not an easy place to be living in the age of Kali. And it's getting worse. All you have to do is go on the news and see the presidential debate in America. And it is getting worse. I mean, how low does it get? I mean, it is simply having debates of the presidential candidate is being, he's being challenged that he's no longer has any sexual prowess. And he's saying, no, that is not true. I don't have any problem in that regard. This is the type of the debate that is going on in America. And America, for some reason or other, is like the most sought after place in the world to migrate to. And there's leaders like this that are, they're aspiring to be leaders. And it's an amazing place. It's this typical situation here in the material world. It might start out pretty good, but it ends up really bad. And we all have some realization of that, at least the ones that are old. You know, it's when we got into this body, it was pretty tough in the very beginning. But then it wasn't so difficult to move around, and I mean, you could actually look in the mirror and it might have been a pleasant sight. But as time passes, throw away the mirror. We no longer want to look in the mirror anymore. And it's difficult to pay obeisances and get out of the bed in the morning. It hurts. I'm sorry to tell you this, young people, but you don't have you don't have much to look forward to in this material world. You really don't. And this is, Prahlad Maharaj is in full knowledge. And we have to learn from Prahlad Maharaj what to do about it. Because we are all in a very serious predicament. where we're going to get old and we're going to get diseased, we're going to get ugly, and we're going to die, and it hurts. But if you're like Prahlad Maharaj, you will be immune to all this. I mean, he, you know, is put in boiling oil, thrown off a cliff, fed poison. I mean, horrendous situations. And he lived through it all. And with a smile on his face. Because he went through everything with folded hands and in a humble mood and a surrendered mood to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever we get put in front of us in life, if we follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, then all the Hiranyakashipu's parents, uncles or aunts or teachers or the Hiranyakashipu's senses or the, you know, so many, the Hiranyakashipu weather, the Hiranyakashipu mind, whatever, all the different Hiranyakashipu that are creating difficulties for us in this material world will have no effect on us if we're like Prahlad Maharaj. I can tell you a little story about this. I was on Sankirtan in Hawaii. This must have been about 30 to 35 years ago. And I was out there every day. I was on Dandavat Parakram on book distribution. That was my service in those days. But I had carried some of my old tendencies with me into spiritual life, like most of us do. You know, we have our sangskaras. We are brought up in certain countries, and we're brought up in certain situations, and until purified, you have some tendencies that are not so desirable, even though you are a devotee, and even though you are wearing tilak, and even though you do have a shaved head. So I was very heavy with the Japanese people. And I was trained up to be like that. And sometimes I would get arrested. I mean, I got arrested actually quite regularly. And when I would get arrested, I would, you know, get out, you know, they did my fingerprints and they took my picture and gave me my court date. And I went right out of the police station, jumped on the bus, went right back on book distribution and continued on as I did. And, you know, I was reading in a purport where Prabhupada said that we should be very determined and have compassion for other living entities and preach to people, but we should have exemplary character when we're preaching to people. I didn't have that. I did other things, okay, but that's one thing I didn't. When people didn't want to give a donation, especially the Japanese people, I demanded it. And I'm a skinny guy, but somehow or other, people were afraid of me. Don't ask me why, but I know why. It was sound vibration. I emanated a sound vibration that made them shake. And out came their money. And then they were very happy to get rid of me. And all it did is take, and it wasn't a little bit amount of money. I didn't accept small bills. And then after accepting a large bill from the husband, because most of them were honeymoon couples, they'd come on the plane loads to Hawaii from Japan. I'd say $20 is the donation. And the husband would give the $20, and I'd go, wife, two. This is America. The husband gives the donation, and so does the wife. So the wife. Anyway, this is a horror story. I'll tell one more aspect of it, and it is not proper behavior. I'm not asking, please, don't anyone copy me. Then I would say, I'm feeding hungry kids in India, and my friend over there is feeding hungry kids in Bangladesh. You give him money also. You know what the people did? They gave the money, but then the next day, they'd be walking down the street, and if they saw me, they would do an about face and walk. Or they would run across the street, and there was traffic to avoid me. So this isn't ideal behavior. Although I'm, you know, engaging their Lakshmi and Krishna service, and believe it or not, sometimes I give them a book. Our movement got a very bad reputation. The tour buses would come down the road full of these honeymoon couples, and they'd stop where I worked. And the tour guide would point her finger at me and explain to the whole bus, don't give him any money. So, this isn't the best PR for the Hare Krishna movement, okay? And the problem was is that my GBC, the devotees would complain in the temple about me, and they complained to the GBC, and the GBC came, and he asked a few questions, okay? He asked, how much money is he making? And it was a certain amount. How big are his lawyer bills? It was a certain amount. So because the figure for how much I was collecting was more than the lawyer bill, he says, keep doing it, you're doing great. Needless to say, he's not a GBC anymore. Sometimes we have to use some discrimination and do what's right. I didn't do that. All right? And I am very, very, very thankful that I'm no longer in Hawaii doing the same thing I did. It has actually been more than 20 years. No, it's been more than 30 years since I've done that. It's quite a long time ago. And I'm very happy that chapter of my life is over, and I've moved on. And if any of you are in a chapter of your life that you're in doing something like what I did in the name of serving Krishna, leave it behind. Figure something else out. And believe me, 30 years from now, you'll be happy you did it. So there's so many things, more things I could say about myself that I've left behind 30, 40, 50 years ago, and I'm very happy I did it. And there's quite a few more things that I can think of that I should leave behind and put it aside and carry on with my life in a different way. That's what spiritual life is all about. It's all about moving forward and getting rid of the anartas, cleansing the heart, and making progress in spiritual life so that someday we can be like an exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. and also like many of you. So, I didn't look at my notes, which is okay. It's kind of like when you get on the hot seat, you feel like you need some kind of crutch. If you're having some memory problems, what am I going to talk about, or you're not inspired, then you have some notes there. It's actually a good sign when you don't look at your notes. And I didn't look at my notes. I'm very happy with myself. I hope I didn't say anything that offended anybody. I actually have to, is there any Japanese people in the room? Semasen gomendasai. She's from Japan. And one time the Japanese people came here and I collected it was on Advaita Acharya's appearance day. I got permission from Janani Vas, and I put them all in a room, and I served them Mahaprasadam. So, the Japanese people, they deserve my humble, my dandavats, hundreds and thousands of times, because for 14 years, I really squeezed the Lakshmi out of them. But what did the Lakshmi go for? Well, I was after Krishna Balaramandir. I came in a period of time when the group was building the Juhu Temple. So that was the Juhu Temple that got some of the results. You were probably not born then. No? Ega Wakanamaska? Hi, domo arigato. Any questions or comments? No questions or comments? Yes. One thing, what happens when you grow old, you don't hear very well. And also, we're in a room that has very challenging acoustics.
Now I have a microphone.
Okay, but speak very clearly.
It's better? Yeah.
And I have an American accent.
I come from Germany, but
okay,
I can understand you. I just have this question belong to the Sankirtan experience you told about, or you talked about. Where is the borderline? What you say, I'm a Sankirtan devotee too in Germany, but I mean, you said it was maybe too heavy because of the Lakshmi you squirreled out of the people, but on the other side, they got the books, so we got also told it's better to give them the books than anything else, even if maybe difficulties come, but whatever, give them the books.
Yeah, they, you know, everyone watching was appalled, and the people that got the book and gave the donation, they were appalled. It wasn't a good taste, and it can be done. You can preach Krishna consciousness in a nice way, and you can be potent, and you can change lives. And if you don't do it nicely, you know, there's a good chance that they get that book, and what are they going to do with it? They're going to throw it in the trash can. And they see the devotees and they're going to say, wow, those people are terrible. We don't have to. Behavior is so much. How we behave. There's prachar and there's achar. There's our practice of Krishna consciousness. That's one thing. And then there's our behavior and that's another. And they should match. I can say for myself that I came from America. And in America, we are trained that we want to be number one. You should be number one. And I was trying to be number one. I was, you know, the biggest collector in the temple. And so I just, whatever way it took, and I'm not going to say the ways, I didn't go into the details of how I did it. and I'm not going to do it because it's not a fit conversation for a Srimad Bhagavatam class because it's not proper achar. There are devotees that go out and they say, yeah, we're a monk. I'm a monk. We're presenting these books on from India, and they give inspiration from so that you can become a better person and a happy person. Or so many things they say that, and they do very well in so many places, and they're joyful, and they don't get angry, and they don't get heavy, and they don't get arrested. You know, I was raising Lakshmi to build the TOBP, I had scheduled about 6 or 7 events in Canada, and I go to the border, and they looked at my criminal record from my days in Hawaii, and they wouldn't even let me in. So, anyway, hopefully I've learned my lesson, and I have more lessons to learn as time passes and we progress through these bodies. And hopefully by the time we get to the end of these bodies, we've learned all our lessons and we get to go back to Godhead. And somehow or other, you can have some very heavy lessons to learn. Some very serious defects in your character. But if you take up spiritual life very sincerely, one lifetime, you can get completely purified. Whereas you may be born in India in a Brahmin family, and you can reject spiritual life and aspire to go to America to get a good job, to make a lot of money instead so that you can enjoy life. So there's no situation here in this world that's not, that it's a hindrance, it's an obstacle for making progress in spiritual life. Yes, Prabhu. I didn't do that to the Africans, so please.
I was born in Africa, but
it's okay.
I grew up in England, so there's some kind of thing. Prabhuji, you just based on the last point you made that the way we preach is very important and we have to preach nicely. So I was wondering what should we as a society made up of communities of devotees with different perspectives on things and different ways of approaching different issues do to make sure that the people who join the movement at later stages also imbibe these qualities that you were speaking of and we can display in our preaching. Because different yatras have different priorities and different approaches to meeting the requirements. So how should we approach this as a society?
Okay, I didn't quite understand very much of that, but I get the gist of it. That approach different people, approach different situations, how to do it. Like if you're a book distributor, how to distribute books in such a way to different groups of people, people of different mentalities. That's requires intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratikapu purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yene mamupyantite. And Krishna says in the Gita, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the intelligence by which you can come to me. And so he will give you the intelligence also, if you're devoted to him, how you can attract others to him also. Okay? I think I'm supposed to end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.
Mm-hmm.